Okay, welcome everyone for the weekly discussion in English medium. Today is August 16th, Tuesday. We have our appointed sutta for the basic discussion. So before going into that, if anyone is having any other comments or any other topic or any other interview reports to be discussed, I invite to start with the discussion.
Sarai Bante, I'm Niranja here. We have one report received for today's session, Bante. With your permission, I would like to present.
Yes, please.
Yes, Bante. Dear Bante, I'm 15 years old and have been practicing for 4 years. This is my experience. Please advise me. I have been sick for a whole week and my head is constantly ringing. So when I went into my sitting meditation, I felt uncomfortable. At first, I tried to focus on my breathing, but would always get distracted by how I felt too hot or how my nose was running. I started focusing on my sore throat instead. And after some time, my awareness was fully on my sore throat and I no longer noticed the temperature or my headache. As I was washing the itchiness in my throat, it initially annoyed me because I became more aware of the pain. I continued to wash the pain in my throat and it seems to heighten. However, the more I washed the pain, my awareness was there, but it was no longer on the pain or my throat. I was just on awareness. I stayed in the state with just the awareness of awareness and was brought out of it when I started having a coughing fit. Therwan Saranai, Hasini. End of the report, Nanti.
Yeah, to give a kind of a different approach, the Buddha mentioned there are 8 reasons for someone to discourage before starting a trip. One may say that I have to do according to the timetable because I have to prepare my bag and everything, so get disturbed. And after the trip, I am very tired after coming back, so therefore I can't run the timetable. Before you become sick, you feel early signs, then you see better not to disturb my body, keep it in the comfort, otherwise I'll get worsened. But after recovering, you say, I am underwent difficulty, so I must take rest. And before the hunger, after the hunger. Before the coldness, and after the coldness. So likewise, 8 reasons Buddha mentioned for reasoning for a lazy bones. But the same thing is for the encouragement for the courageous people. Before the sickness happens, or early signs happen, he may understand, so I am going to go for this thing, I may die for this thing, therefore I must not relax. I must try to keep on my timetable as much as possible. Soon after recovery also, he may think, or she may think, during the sick time, I can't, but now recovering, therefore I must catch. So therefore, either you can make it a reason to be lazy or reason to be encouraged. So 15 years old, you are presenting it in such an encouraging tone. That I appreciate. That indicate these all distractions and difficulties are reason to be happy, reason to be glad. So we must write in such a way, your writing manner indicates whether you happy, suffering or not. If you are reporting in a discouraged and disturbed and defeated kind of thing, you are happy with masochism and sadistic ideas. But you say, yes, this thing happened, I know it, I know awareness of the awareness. So that's the way you are putting it in such a way, so other people can understand he or she is completely upset. Sick, but make a reason to be make a very positive report. So this is how Tripitaka came into being. In the Tripitaka, well, the dukkha, tutta suffering is there, but presented as the best philosophy All the other religions says, no, no, no. If you are following the Buddha, the God, and there is no suffering, everything is intelligent design, everything is perfect. Bullshit. The reality is suffering. And they never consider the suffering as a philosophy. But you see the Tipitaka. Not right reserved. Any person can read. Because they have presented keeping the truth of suffering in front. Reason for the suffering is the second. And the release is the third. The way releasing is the fourth. So it is talking about suffering. But in this very life you can understand this is talking about how to release from. That is mere the way of presenting. That's all what happened in the meditation. While you are meditating, you must understand, try to find a reason to be glad under any circumstances. Then you are happy. You're just simply happy. So some people are born with, some people are not. So now, present day, my concern is, can such a people born with unhappiness be changed in this very life? Really, I thought mindfulness is so powerful, one can change. But now I have little withdrawing. I am telling you, people destined for mindfulness is destined. Others, whatever the effort you take, they are always with that adhered idea. I mean, they are with their pet ideas, never happy to reconsider. So, it's a very good example, very good message for me. Don't fight with them. You just have your happiness. You must have your openness, silent sermon. If they're happy, they will take. It is not due to you. They have to understand the turning point. It's happening in the individual basis, always in a singular format. So therefore, this essay, this report, is giving a good invitation, good open grounds. I have running nose, I have distraction, I have this thing. And still continue meditation. Not only the human, even the gods are respecting such characters. So this is what you call hermit. This is what you call the energy. This is what you call the sustainability of the mindfulness. So please keep it up still anyway. That's all my remark.
There's no more reports, Pante.
Good. Enough. Thank you. So now I invite Venerable Buddha Rakhita to continue with the topic what we have suggested and stopped last time so that we can engage into the traditional discussion.
So we begin the next section in this sutta again, where the Buddha, again the psychic Buddha, is posing questions to the physical Buddha, and he has kind of come to an end of a section, and he asks a sort of a different question. He says, "You explained to us whatever we asked you. Let us now ask something else. Please tell me this. Do some wise men here say that at this point this is the foremost purity of the spirit, or do they speak of it as different from this?" So the Buddha answers, "Some wise men here say that at this point this is the foremost purity of the spirit, but some among them claim to be skilled, speak of an attainment without residue remaining. Having known these to be dependent, and having known the dependencies, the Muni, the investigator, having known, liberated, does not enter disputes. The wise one does not come upon various states of existence." So here it's quite nice. I find it very highly skilled of how the Buddha communicates. So before he begins asking what seems to be a different line of questioning, he underlines that that I have understood and appreciated your previous comments. And, so this is a very skillful way of speaking to people. Like when you ask them questions, sometimes people will just continue asking questions and the conversation seems to be kind of drifting around. So here, like the Buddha is curious, to ask a sort of a different question, But he, you know, he does it in a way where he actually acknowledges and affirms what he has already been asking about before he moves on to the next question. And so, and then in the reply, the physical Buddha, again, he repeats the question. He says, some men here say that at this point, this is the foremost purity of the spirit. So here, again, you can see that he's very attentively listening to the question that's been asked to him. And he's going to tackle that one as well. So again, like when we're asked questions, sometimes we don't think carefully about the question that's being asked. So here, again, it's just from my point of view, I learn a lot from the Buddha, like about how to think through things, how to ask questions, how to give answers. There's a lot about how to have skilled communication. And if we think about the fourth precept of, Musawada, then that's avoiding lying and avoiding unskillful speech. But we should also try to learn what is skillful speech and practice it and emulate skillful speakers. So it's quite interesting when I look at the Buddha, how he tackles questions. I learn a lot even just from the formatting. So let's come back to the question, what's he asking now again in this? So do some wise men here say that at this point this is the foremost purity of the spirit, or do they speak of it as different from this? So here it's a very interesting question, really. What he's going to ask about here is he's asking, you've made this kind of claim that that there are these... that there is this path out of suffering. There is this way to the end of suffering, the end of form. So is there anything further to do with this? And the Buddha claims that, let me give you his answer. He says that some among them claim to be skilled, speak of an attainment without residue remaining. Having known these to be dependent, and having known the dependencies, having known liberated, does not enter disputes, the wise do not come upon various states of existence. So here he's actually stating that that there is a liberation. So this is actually a reformatting of the third noble truth, that there is a nibbana, there is a cessation of states, and there is a liberation without residue remaining. The problem with most other religions is that even if you live a moral life, if you live a generous life of charitable work and so forth, as you can find in the teachings of other religions, you're being encouraged to practice good and to avoid evil. However, they don't teach you how to really cultivate the mind so that you can have this elimination or termination or cessation of rebirth, of existence. Some of these other, you meet people like who are we'll just say, not practicing the Buddha's teachings. They don't know the path, but they're wonderful people, very moral, very generous, and live, just very pure lives, their whole life. And they have this aspiration to help other beings, help other people, live a harmless life. And you might say at the end, like a friend of mine was talking to a Christian nun who had lived one of these, wonderful lives, really remarkable life. And she was saying God is love and God is infinite, and that to be a Christian is to serve others. And you can see from this kind of thinking that that this person, I believe, will have a wonderful rebirth and will attain heavenly states because she's lived a very pure and wonderful life, a celibate life, a life of complete charity, of extreme humility, very wonderful life. And then what? Is reborn into a heavenly state. So there is a residue remaining as such. A wonderful residue remaining, and enjoy that wonderful life. And she looks forward to her death. She looks forward to being reborn with God, you know, with her parents, whom she believes lived a wonderful life too. And it'll be wonderful. You know, it's a very heavenly kind of vision of the world. And she has done all of the right actions and deeds to enjoy a good rebirth. You know, but unfortunately, this is not what we teach in Buddhism to some degree. Of course, you can take the advice. Just do good, avoid evil, and you will have a wonderful rebirth. You will have a heavenly state of being. However, the crux of the Buddha's teaching is actually cessation, which is the third noble truth. That there is a cessation to suffering, and that there is a finishment, a sort of the parinibbana, where there is no residue remaining. And this is a complete liberation from the cycles of rebirth. You see, it's not about doing good or evil. It's about escaping the rounds of rebirth. And in a way, this involves us doing neither good nor evil. And it involves us cultivating the mind. So in a way, this question double underlines all the teachings that the Buddha touches on in the previous questions, and underlines and emphasizes the dependent origination and interconnectivity that exists, the causal chain that ties us to rebirth. So good ties us to rebirth, just as bad evil ties us to rebirth. And that is this threading between good and evil, this cultivation of the mind that brings us to, you know, to a final cessation, which is the goal of Buddhism. The goal of Buddhism is Nibbana, cessation. But I'd be appreciative of what Mahathera might have to say about this.
Now, this is highly discussed in Nivanivima sermon. It is highly discussed in the concept and reality, Magga Jnana Pala Jnana. Whenever someone sees the path, is it enough? Or he should be striving to reach the phala. And once he attained the Saupadisesa Nibbana, that's when becoming an arahant is enough, or he must try for Nirupadisesa, the final cessation. An example given by Venerable Jnanarama is that Brahmana, they have a rule: if you're going to defecate, you have to wash your ass with water. Otherwise, you are at fault. So therefore, one day the Brahmana teacher and the disciple is going in the forest, and both of them are suffering. They wanted to go to the toilet, but no water. So ultimately, it was so threatening, say, shit. And then they think that next water source, we are going to wash, and we are compromising teacher and the daughter, the disciple. But there is no, it's like a desert. So disciple says, we are going, keep on accumulating because time is passing. Then he says, I will climb a tall tree and see where is a water source. So he will take all the pain, climbing. And he says, I see far away there's a village and there's a water tank. Then the teacher says, then you are pure because you have seen water. Not washed. Then the disciple is asking the teacher, what about you? So I am also pure because that I have seen you. So that is the way the Buddhists are sarcastic about the Hinduism. That is not the story. But seeing a water source far away is just like a Nibbana is available. And he developed, it is not a camouflage, it's not a hallucination, it's a water source, but it's far away. That itself is enough when you are traveling in the desert, see your oasis. He feels so relaxed. But then the Buddha is asking, after seeing strive and go there and imbibe in the water and drink water and have water lilies and everything, then he is realizing it. He is entertaining it. Two different things. But which one is more appreciable? Just seeing. On the way, I am on the way to oasis. And one person is, after seeing, striving through, and then go to the water and jump into and drink and everything. So likewise, when you are wandering mind, if you know, your primary object is at your nose. And that very knowledge is Nibbana. You are wandering, you are in the wandering mind, but you know breath is very short. And mindfulness is no time difference. And that very understanding is called Tadanga Nibbuti. Then and there, momentary Nibbuti. That is never appreciated in Arthakatha. These are talking about the Arupa Jhana. The complete, for the Sinhalese understanding, I will present the Buddha Jayanti translation. You see how much they have camouflaged, how much they have underestimated the readers. It says, Yantam apuccham akaita iso, akaita no, anyantam puccham tadinga bruhi. Whatever you have me asked, and then it has been answered. May I ask another question? Because for the additional bonus, ettavataggang nu vadanti heke yakkasa suddhin ida panditase udahu anyampi vadanti etta. Whatever you mention is utterly useful, no problem. That I appreciate it. Any wise person, this subtle matter, or Arupa Jhana, consider as the final aim. You see that my commentary says, he says, this Arupa Jhana, that's called subtle matter consciousness, or no matter consciousness, is the final thing. You see, what a kind of misleading. This is the best book on the earth. Because Bodhi also says single translation is the best. But they say they are not talking about the Nibbana. They are talking about the highest jhanic achievement. Eight jhana is the limit. This the Pandita people is appreciating. Nohot tila arupa samapatting anakiku sudhya kaida. Besides that, is there any other thing? So Venerable Jnanananda was so critical about this, and he says how the commentator is completely bluffing and completely blunt answer is given. And this, I'm sorry that you may not be, it is not me, applicable to the coming from different countries, people like you, Venerables like you, this is the board. The topmost monks in Sri Lanka. And this is the final appreciated, final proof. But what the camouflage? Is the Arupa Jhana is the final aim? Is there anything besides that? Then the Buddha is answering, Ittavatagampi vadanti heke, yakkasa suddhin idha panditase, tesam paneke samayang vadanti, anupadi sesa kusala vadana. In this world, some wise people, this Arupa Jhana itself, say the final. Let's say sarcastic about the Hinduism. Ovunaturin, among them, atamik anupadi sesa, that means final liberation told as the end. That means great demise of the Buddha or the Arahant. But they never talking about the saupadi sesa nibbana. So that is this kind of a thing. What a crime! He was talking about the last week and before that. How is the translation is bounded and blind, folded by the jhanic samatha interpretation? They're psychopaths. Simply psychopaths. So who the hell can find the answer? So Venerable Jnanananda, in my case, Venerable Dhammika. At the outset, he mentioned, please read them, but see what a blindfolded fellows they consider the best Theravada teachers, but don't get blindfolded. You read it, practice yourself. Lucky enough, then I came to Nisaranavane, and I can read Venerable Jnanananda, what is directly whacking, in front of Venerable Jnanarama. So then I was so grateful where the first changeover happened with Dhammika. he told these books, they are completely, they are the authority, more than the Buddha, and you see misleading. And that is why you people have different translations. And Bhikkhu Bodhi is utterly following this one. And Bhikkhu Bodhi is good when compared to the PTS translation. And now some other people, and Bhikkhu Bodhi we have respect for the moment, I mean he is academically full, but he can't go beyond this. Why? Why? I feel I can go. But I am not bounded with this jhanic thing as the final. I mean, there are people, of course, consider this as the final, even within the Theravada. I consider they are psychopaths. I read the book Saints and Psychopaths by Bill Hamilton, and he was with us in Panditarama. And he was an American billionaire in vitamin business, ruined because of his girlfriend, following and leading, misleading them. So you can understand the politics and the religion and the misunderstanding, how much you believe, what you think, what you are. But can we have a brainstorming? Can we have another horizon? It is also a right horizon, yes. But you see, and why this is called yakka? This term is called yakka. You know, Jnananda has a special this thing. Yakka is the leaders of God. Indra, Surya, is called as yakka. So we call yakka to look down something. It says yakkasa suddhing ida panditase. Atam pandita mahanubhavunu kenek me arupa samapatti matreindu satyage agravu suddhya kiyatmai. This is the way Jnanananda's interpretation. Yes. Yes. So why don't you read it? I will give the singular one. And whenever Jnanananda gave clear cut opening, and he had the doubt to translate this book into Sinhala. Many people asked me to translate. Of course, my English was not good. But ultimately, before the death, he translated this. And in between, he gave sermons of Nibbana, and where he take this. And when we are explaining, not a single monk in Nisarnavane can understand it. Because all of them think Arupa Jhana is the final. When Jnanananda has his fair doubt, because he is responsible for misleading. When Jnanananda this thing and whacked, ultimately everyone chased Jnanananda out. Everyone chased when Jnanananda from the sanstava. I mean, life stories I am telling, within 70 years what I have seen, but still I am surviving. I am sustainable. I am pervading, I am so happy, I am airing my view. Please present this in Vijnananda's interpretation.
Actually, it's a good explanation of the word yakka. So in this case, normally yakka means a kind of a demon, whereas in this case, its use here is in a philosophical sense to denote the individual soul. So as we've just heard from Mahatero, he's a bit of a yakka. He's a bit of an individual soul, and he's kind of fighting with things like a yakka.
So yesterday evening so here, I gave him. That here, is why he's telling I am fighting. Yesterday till 11:30.
I have to put up with his nonsense every now and again. He's yakka, his inner yakka spirit railing at the world. And so here yakka has this unusual meaning of individual soul, which Bhikkhu Bodhi he does his best to translate it as spirit. And as I mentioned in my own interpretation of this verse, this idea of soul is very common across all religions, except for Buddhism, where we don't have soul, we have states of mind, and we have a process of interdependency and causation between these states of mind. So as we discussed in this sutta earlier on, you know, when we experience form, it's because we've seen the form, and then we have a mental expression of that form in our mind. And so this kind of very psychological understanding of the processes of mind, whereas all other religions really seem to gravitate towards a concept of soul.
No, personified. It's a personified, and the Buddha sometimes called Indra as Yakka. Indra is the leader of God, the sun god, and Yakka. Yakka is the leading god. It's not a simple god. That's why he's saying, I am a Yakka. I am a leading god.
A bit wild. Like a Yakka.
Yakka.
An individual soul. Okay, so that's it from here.
So that, therefore, that whenever they are talking, they attribute the what they call liberation as the four age jhana. And Attakatha is telling, no, Buddha is beyond that. He is not aiming at the age jhana. But in this sutta, never mention about age jhana. They have developed a counter argument and whacking it. Because they are on limitation, because they think the other followers can't follow it. I mean, they are very superior, but utter misleading. And all these monks, I mean, they are not simple, this thing, big shots. And they have done first reading, proofreading, second, third, fourth, and this is the final. But Venerable Jnanananda break it so quickly because he has prepared the ground. You see what is the page number what you are reading?
137.
137. In page number 78, 80, 90, he's developed the argument, concept and reality. Now he take this example and says, what the kind of Theravada tradition with the blinkers, not the Buddha words. They are very open. They are very not given details. The Attakatha thinks we followers can't understand Buddha word without their tools. But their tool is misleading. Not a single Theravada monk can go against this. Even Venerable Jnanarama a little hesitant. But they accepted Theravada. Burmese never. But Venerable Jnanananda, sometimes Mahasi Sayadaw, of course he's a Theravada monk. But they are ready, they are open. I mean, they have not given the answer because the answer is Nibbana. Nibbana you have to attain. Not by the book reading you can go. But that kind of interpretation. So, what about the other God religion? What about other intelligent designs? What about the perfect God world? So this is also going to the same. So, present day, there's a huge fight among with Vipassana and Samatha. Samatha teachers, they are trying their best to negate Vipassana teachers. Declared war. And Nisaramane, there was one book called Samatha Vidasana Bhavana Marga, only one teacher teaching both. Vivekananda was shocked. In one single place, both have been taught? Yes. Venerable Jnanarama is an expert in Samatha and Vipassana. No harm. They consider this as a petrol and fire like. They will burst. It is not. So that is a single fire, single teacher I found is Achancha. Achancha never understood Samatha Vipassana. And myself is crucified as Vipassana. So I have a very fair understanding about Venerable Jnanarama, self-manager of the seven stages of purification, where he take Samatha as a very solid base. And then only he go to Vipassana. I mean, they had to go interdependent. But these extremes. So, Venerable Dhammika, when he's explaining in 80s, he told other religions also they have sects. In Theravada, but the Theravada sects are principally accepted, but they are other social aspect. But other religions, there's a basic tenets are split. So, we are in such a evolving age, evolving dhamma, because dhamma is the dhamma, but people interpret in a different way. So I am very happy. That's why I like this English medium discussion. We can brainstorm. We can burst ourselves. So we have to be yakka. What else? How can? Oh, whack the fellow.
Thank you, Swaminand. This conversation just verifies what I had already read from Analio Bhikkhu and other books that I'd read about samatha is not it's a good foundation for having vipassana insight, but it's not the end, and so they go together. And that I'd learned that you can reach vipassana insight without samatha. And they really emphasize that at Panditarama. I was there for 5 months, and yes, Panditarama for 5 months. I went there directly after leaving here in 2017. So I was there.
2017.
Yeah, 2017. I was there from November 2017 to the end of that 5 months. I'm not sure the exact, but I was there for the international retreat that was there. But they really emphasize that vipassana practices can be attained without samatha. So I just wanted to say that, you know, I that's what I've understood, is what you all are saying is that jhana practice isn't the end. And so that's all I wanted to say.
Ostre Sanse, thank you, Bantes, for the contributions. I thought that I would just give the point of view that doesn't kind of take jhana as the ultimate goal, whether it's rupa or arupa, but also doesn't take this to be devoid of jhana, because I think a pretty simple way of understanding it, as I have taken it, is in the Gatha talking about the very complicated state of not perceiving perception, not perceiving abnormal perceptions, not non-perceiving and not perceiving the disappeared. Even if this is taken as the eighth arupa jhana, then what the next question is asking is this what people would call the highest purity of the spirit? So is this basically the goal? Or do they speak of something else as the goal? And then Lord Buddha again answers, indeed, some people do say that this is the goal, and others say that this is what the without remainder is. But then in the last gatha, he says, having known these as they are dependent, so both those views and also the state itself, then he knowingly investigates into the dependency. And knowingly he is freed and does not enter into dispute. So the wise one does not intend for existence or non-existence. So just taken from many, many suttas that I've read on how kind of going through those eight jhanas and then understanding them all to be conditioned, then one is released. It doesn't really seem to be at odds with this. I'm not sure exactly what the Attakatha says and how they interpret it. But if we are talking about the eighth arupa jhana, and then the Muni is simply supposed to, in the last gatha as it says, see these as upanisthiti, just as dependent, then still it fits in line with the Dhamma. I don't see anything wrong with it, because the Buddha is saying that even this is not actually what leads to freedom. Even though some people say that it is and some people say that it isn't and whatnot, you have to look into the dependent, conditioned nature of all of it. And it's through that that one is freed. So I thought that I would just share that. But either way, I think we can all agree that that we will keep disputing forever until we are free ourselves. So, sad.
Avasarai Bhante. Thank you, Bhante, and Bhante, all the Bhantes that have commented so far. Thank you for all the great comments. And yeah, this is a very interesting discussion that we have going, and we've had similar discussions in the past. But I can just speak from my experience having trained in the Pauk tradition before coming here, training with Venerable Uaganya and another Pauk monk named Venerable Utijinda. Yeah, that is more of a Samatha tradition overall, you could say. The rule that they have is before they teach you anything else, you have to make your mind still for at least 1 hour. So we're talking samadhi for like 1 hour before they like teach you anything else. So it is definitely heavily samatha based in the Pauk tradition. But even then, once you are able to do that, they go on to teach you vipassana, insight, cultivating insight, investigation, of like the four elements and so on, nature of the body, so on. The tradition of Ajahn Mahabua, which I also have experience with, which is Thai forest tradition. They are more, a lot of the Thai forest tradition sects are more samatha based, you could say, I guess, or they have more of an emphasis on samatha. And Ajahn Mahabua's tradition, they also teach investigation of the body to asubha specifically. It's important to, I think, point out, I would say that I definitely agree with Bhante Sudhira, everything kind of goes together, samatha and vipassana. I've always personally seen the Buddha as teaching tranquility and jhana as a means of investigating. It's a way of making sure that you can investigate properly, so that your defilements are not running amok, so you can actually see with wisdom what's going on in your mind. And it's just a way of making it's not the end goal. You still need that vipassana, you still need that insight, but it's a way of just taking your mind out of the craziness that's going on in your mind, and just getting it to a state of peace and calm so that you can investigate. So that's the comment that I would have to share.
So before going to the other person, I will present my in between. Remember last time that American embassy person came, and after that he had a few minutes of discussion. He searched a person who is talking about in this very life. So they told that go to Dhammajiva. He came and he asked why. Because here Rupa Arupa Jhana, never Nibbana, but Nibbana is at the Parinibbana. So it in this very life, no Nibbana. So that is the exact point who Sayado, Pandita Sayado, in this very life. He hit all this by simple taking this issue. And then the constitution of Nisarnavanya, there is another word. In this life, in this very life, in this life itself. So after finishing the Pandita Sayado, I came here, I became the competent authority. So it happened me to read the constitution. Constitution says, in this life itself. I mean, this is the crux. The Samatha people say it's not the end, but it's a very good achievement, because keeping the mind is free of, this is not a joke. But about the Saupadisesa Nibbana Dhatu, that is something called in this very life. Oh, Nirupadisesa Nibbana Dhatu is at the demise. That means belong to the either word, the nidha, the didha, not the hidha. So that is the what lost in Theravada. That's what lost in the Buddhism, but the Theravada try to hang over it. Maintain it. But you see in the translation, again they remove it. Saupadhi says Nirvana Dhatu, you are having some upadhi. But still, the Buddha says the most critical one is Sotapatti Magga Jnana. the breaking from the putujjana world to the Aryan world. But the maggajnana, not the phalajnana, I hope I can understand, use these two terms. Maggajnana, what is the clear sign of the maggajnana? Not never mentioned.
It doesn't have a sign.
Maggajnana. But the Buddha says, Attarya Pudgala Mahasangaratne. The Buddha is telling Attarya Pudgala, that means Sotapatti Maggajnana, Phalajnana, Satrasakradagami, you can't deny it. Because in Karnimitta Sutta, in Mangala Sutta, it says Sangam is 8. So Mahasi Sayadaw says, Balava Udayabhyajnani. Pandita Sayadaw says, Udayabhyajnani. Some people says, Sankharupikajnani. So these things are very open. So nowadays in Sri Lanka, so much of Sotapanna people, they give interpretation, this is the turning point. No one can change, no one can challenge. So you have to understand Maggajnana is more important than phala, because you have enough place to doubt yourself. But you are not entertaining doubts. You know definitely I am on the way. And it is destined to phalajnana. So such people only get the phalajnana. Not that it is confirming after phalajnana. Those who are with the clarity, those who have the sure and short, definitely. I have a lot of defilements, no problem. But I am on the way. So that maggajnana phalajnana difference is a great threat to Sri Lankan meditators, not for the bookish people, I mean academic people. So Mahasi Sayadaw to give a different interpretation, Pauk Sayadaw to give a different interpretation, Pandita Sayadaw to give a different interpretation, Jnana Rama, Venerable give a different interpretation. I mean, everything valid. So you have to verify, you have to clarify, you have to make yourself. Are you sure you are on the way? Then you, if you try to be a king, you will be a king, no problem. If you wish to be a king, you are a king. That is what the prince, the Machiavelli mentioned. If you wish to be a king, behave like a king. So it appears like boosting and boasting, no. For such people only see the phalajnana. Otherwise you will say, no, we tried as much as possible, we went to Arupa Jnana, this Jnana, yes, I am better than earlier. It's nothing substantial. So when he's at the deathbed, definitely he is not to the Nibbana. So that part is individual. You can't write it in a book. You can't put it into grammar. You can't put it to language. That is what the discussion is lively. We try, we see by the behavior, are you sure with that, the way you are following? Are you have the confidence? That's enough. Mahasi Pandita Jnana Rama says, Venerable, when you are sitting, if you have that dasanena sampanno, if that dasana, you are the one to get the palajnana in the sitting. But if you think that what I got is not the maggajnana, so I have to do a lot, they give a long list, you will never even imagine phalajnana, you will never reach phalajnana. No one can verify. Let alone the phalajnana, maggajnana, even the phalajnana, no one can decide. So therefore, the person who is doing with the confidence, and then you can see all the people with the frustration and tension and all the disappointments. But such a person with so much of bag of disappointments, but he's looking forward. That is in this very life.
Just quickly, the last thing I wanted to say was that, from what I recall during the Buddha's time, a lot of people were practicing jhana, and I think this is what other people have been saying here, is that people were practicing jhana and they thought that was the end goal, but the Buddha was like, this is just to help us get to the end goal. You know, jhana is just to still the mind so that we can investigate the nature of all conditioned things, which is anicca, dukkha, and anatta. So I think that we can all agree that it's not the end goal, but I think that some people, a lot of people would find it difficult to investigate the nature of all conditioned things without making the mind still and calm, you know. I would just believe that a lot of people would find it difficult, and that's just.
So Prabhupada gave a very clear answer. Prabhupada says jnana is only for the jhana. Vipassana is not jnana. So therefore, if you wish to have jnana, do away with the nivarana. But I would say the magga jnana is the lack of doubts. Vichikicca. So if you are entertaining still doubts, you may claim you have jhana temporary or not, but entertaining doubts is the present day culture, present day the communal theory. You are in a hell. You are always entertaining doubts, but it is beyond your control. So when some people ask from Gurdjieff, are you beyond this world or not? He's asking, if I say yes, can you verify? If I say no, can you verify? Then why should I answer? You're asking for the sake of answering bullshit. That cannot be shared. This is not the jnana. This is a lack of doubts. Sotapatti magga sakkhayaditi vichikicca. Today whole world is full of vichikicca. So I hate the world. Because two people get together fighting. Doubts. Arguing. I mean, we can do constructive and destructive, but vichikicca, we can't rectify that. No. Vichikicca, you have to be here and now I am. I mean, that's the only possible way. And then you can share with others if the others are also in the same vibration. But today communication, today information technology never give a peace. Always make a conflict, make a kind of a imbalance and talking. And people are talking more mad, more tension, more frustration. So therefore, I would say it is not the matter of wisdom. It's a matter of lack of doubts. Even if you do wrong thing without a doubt, Buddha will come and teach you. That is how the Angulimala got the blessings of the Buddha. He killed thousands. But Buddha went in search because he is a sharp man. Hitler had been during the time of the Buddha and Prabhakaran. They would have been the best disciples of the Buddha. But they are destined. They are dying in the field. Present day leaders, they are in White House with a private army. And that is where they can dictate their, maintain their jurisdiction. Nonsense. They are not samurais. So therefore, Hitler, I believe, Prabhakaran, I believe, not that his behavior and killing other people, but he's made up his mind. Just like Angulimala. So therefore, when we are talking, we may be miscommunicating because it's very difficult to talk about the doubt in a discussion with two people. But you have to check. Am I verifying my thing? Am I losing my doubts? That is what I call wisdom. Sorry that I am jumping all the time.
Oh, it's fine. Thank you, Bhante, for all of your wonderful comments, and thank you to everyone else who gave wonderful comments. Thank you very much.
Respect to Mahatero and Mahasangha. When I was listening, one thing that came to my mind was that both Sinhala and English translations are having a tendency to rely on jhana, mainly from my perspective, is because of the lack of appreciation of mindfulness. And I started reading the translations and Tripitaka only after a considerable period of mindfulness practice. Then I saw in certain translations, the translations are not tying up with the practice. The one word which I was very puzzled with was upekkha sati parisuddhi. And in most of the places they have translated as mindfulness purified by equanimity, which is very impractical so far as mindfulness is concerned, because upekkha is a product of mindfulness according to the teaching. So therefore, it cannot be something that purifies mindfulness. In fact, it has to be the other way around. So from there onwards, I think this jhanic emphasis has been there. And that should be the reason why it is more academic and less practice. I don't know whether I'm clear enough in what I'm saying.
If I am to put my idea, that's the way you qualify the fourth jhana. Upekkha satipatthisuddhin chatuttha jhana upasampajja viya. That's a difference between the Hindu jhana and the Buddhist jhana. Buddhist jhana is supported by upekkha and sati. Not that upekkha is going to give sati or sati is going to upekkha. At that time, upekkha and sati is the same. Because you don't feel the breath. It's gone. Kaya sankara disappeared. But Mahasi, the Pavaksadi really says, if you inquire at that time, is the breath is there? Yes, it is there. Don't jhana then. You are inquiring. Because upekkha is not to inquire, you accept. I am in the fourth jhana. Breathing may happen in the lowest position, it is, you can't feel it, but don't inquire. You have upekkha, satiparisuddhin, chatuttha jhana. Then you can be there 1 hour, 2 hours, as far as you believe you are in the fourth jhana. If you are going to check breath you have, then you have a doubt. Am I in the sati? No, you are not in the jhana then. You have no upekkha at that time. You are no sati. So choiceless awareness verify with the upekkha, the come within par with at the fourth jhana. Not that upekkha is going to give the sati, sati is going to give upekkha, but with Venerable Dhammika told, at the right, at the outset, you have to understand mindfulness means choiceless awareness. You believe it. One day you can verify it when the breath is not there. You are not inquiring. Inquiring is the curse. It's the worst. That's a doubt. Entertaining doubts. So you are blindfold. You are just believing if you wish to have calm mind. If you are inquiring, you are no more in the fourth jhana. So that is verily explained by Pavaksayado according to his understanding. And therefore, that is, I think, it is reasonable, this thing. And therefore, they think it is only for the samatha practices. I would say, no, vipassana yogis definitely go to don't experience the breath. I am not going to tell them you are in the jhana, but I am telling sati upekkha. You have sati come to the peak, upekkha level, and you can understand if you wish to see, you can see the breath, subtle breath. If you just to neglect about and the body and the mind and be in the that calmness, jhanic experience, but you have not practiced first jhana, second jhana, third jhana like. And something like that, Bhante Gunaratana explained, and some people say, Bhante, you are telling something wrong. No, I am telling what happened to me, he says. I have not practiced so-called jhanic practice, but this is a mind state. He's a Siamanikaya monk. He's not a forest monk. So people like I don't mention name because he's asking for trouble. They say these are the gradual process of samatha, and without that you can't go there, and it is only for the samatha card holders, not for others. But you go to the young children and see how quickly they go to the breath situation. And if you are not inquiring, you like a blindfold and faith, you can entertain jhana. If you are going to inquire and kind of thing, no sati upekkha. So that is the way. First magga jnana is no doubt. No vichikicca. The present day education is full of vichikicca. Present day science is utter vichikicca. It is utterly with the sammiccha ditthi, miccha sankappa. So always conflict. But no harm. We can conflict, no harm. But understand, main thing is not to worry. Have your peace of mind. Wherever expression you have, people will attribute good or bad to you. Doesn't matter. That way they listen. But what you have to understand, I am not entertaining doubts.
And that explanation is very rare in the translation.
Yeah, difficult. Because they cannot be academic having hold this mentality. So jhana and adhyana. You have to understand, adhyana means academic. Jhana means practicing. Jhana can't deal with adhyana. Adhyana means education. So present day education is utter bullshit. But we came through that, so you have to say they have some kind of thing. You have to drop it whenever necessary, and you have to understand jhana. That jhana is not samatha jhana. That means burning vichikicca, burning defilements.
There is a support for that in the third jhana. Third jhana very clearly mentioned it comes out of clear comprehension led by mindfulness. So therefore it's a sequence.
Preparation for the fourth jhana.
Yes.
According to the samatha way.
Vipassana way.
Yes, American? the Canadian.
Yes, just quick kind of thing that I found useful. When thinking of translations, obviously we Pali and English are not the same, so there will need to be those kind of like whether it's by this or by that. But what I usually do just to keep things simple is if I hear like upekkha satipari sudning, then just think equanimity, mindfulness, pure, and then it's pretty simple, and you don't have to think too much about what causes what and what brings what about and get all these doubts. But if you have equanimity, if you're mindful and feel very pure about it, then that's in line with the Dhamma. So that's just a small thing.
That's a good way of explanation, good interpretation.
Hi, Avasarai Bhante. I guess I just wanted to say one last thing. Although I could say that I come from more of Samatha traditions overall.
Come from America. Come from business Buddhism.
Although I could say before I came here, I practiced more so in samatha based traditions. I think that it's for me it's all two sides of the same coin. I think everybody's trying to get to the same place, and they just have different ways of approaching the practice. So I really respect that, though, that all traditions are trying to reach the goal of Nibbana. So thank you for all the wonderful comments.
Raise hands. Surrendered. And one thing that as far as he's mentioned, the fourth jhana, you know, I think jhana can explain the four-way system and five-way system. Have you heard the first jhana, second jhana, third jhana, fourth jhana, fifth jhana? No. Rupa jhana explained in the four-way system and five-way system.
Okay.
Have you heard?
I don't know if I've heard the words four-way.
Yeah. So, in Panditarama and Attakatha, they say four-way system is more efficient. In the first jhana, Vitakka, Vichara, Pichi, Sukha, Ekagata, all five. Second jhana, you drop Vitakka, Vichara, both. And then piti, and then sukha, then the fourth jhana. So I gave enough time to understand the first jhana, vitakka, vichara, piti, sukha, ekagata. Second jhana, no vitakka, but vichara is available. That means you have no direct object, but the mind is proliferating. Vichara. That is a very clear point. Sometimes Attakathacharya given us enough emphasis on the second jhana as the savitakkam vicharamattam, avitakkam vicharamattam. You have no vitakka. You are not applying the mind. Mind is talking. I mean, it is not a direct touching with some object. It is lost. But mind is proliferating. Only vichara. And the third one is no vitakka, no vichara. Then mind is full of piti sukha. So that is a very clear indication what is happening at the fourth jhana. Our mind can be talkative without a base. And it is not your personal mistake. It's a human mind. I mean, it is not due to American, it is not to be Sri Lankan. This is the mind. Mind finds reason to be ergo cogito sum. I think, therefore I am. So therefore no vitakka, but vichara available. Yeah, you can understand psychologically imbalanced people. They are to go. They are hallucination. They are schizophrenia, bipolar. Because your right, left brain and right brain now going to play in a different way. So that is being partly lost. Usually they accept the fourth jhana system, Panchakarma Chatukkhanaya. is the fourth jhana. Panchakanaya means fifth jhana. No vitakka, but the vichara available. And that is very, very human, I could say. When you are doing no base, but mind is sending kites, storytelling, fabricating. That's all.
So I'd really like to call it back to again this to the sutta, to the verse itself, and to just to underline the point that the Buddha, for at least from my interpretation, lands on this, on the third noble truth, that there is cessation. And I've spent a lot of time with jhana practitioners and also with vipassana yogis.
You have been with Brahmaji Acharya.
Yeah, I've really put in time with these people, like, and I've listened to the
it
arguments
was
on both sides.
I told.
And the same with sutta study people, again, like, and scholars, and arguing about this and that, because again, this is based on this conversation I was having with a friend of mine about Christianity and other religions, where there's an idea that you can blend everything together. But what I find very distinctive in Buddhism is that the Buddha says that there is a finish, there is a nibbana, and that's in the third noble truth. And whereas other religions don't, they have you're merging with God, and you're merging with this, and you're merging with jhana, and you're merging with other things. And again, just coming back to some of that element in the Thai forest tradition, where there's a chittern, where there's a residue remaining. Very distinctive teaching in one of your forest traditions is that there is residue remaining, chittern, and all this really strange stuff. It's right there, that what the Buddha was talking about. It might sound very abstract here in that verse, but that's exactly what they practice. And it's very strange. And these people, like, proclaim that they're arahants and enlightened, and it's completely false, and verifiably false here, what the Buddha is saying. So I don't like all of this, like, wishy-washy, and it's all grey goo, and we can blend it all together, and it's all going to be good. And it isn't. The Buddha has refined something very, very pure and special.
I argue, but
out,
you continue.
And that's
I
it.
Have my points to express.
You know, and that's where I get off on it. I get fed up with this every which way, backing and forthing, and so forth. And if you practice, you can know the difference between these things. And if you don't, it's all bloody hogwash, and it'll be...
Is very clearly indicated in Potapada Sutta. Buddha says, even you become arahant, the friction due to six senses remains. That disappears at the parinibbana. That is very clearly mentioned in the Sankha, this concept and reality, just before that. Even if you are in the arahant magga palanyana, you have a friction. Because of, you have to maintain salayatana. Salayatana patibaddha dharata pariraha. He says that is the minimum, therefore no, the 100% theoretical maximum. So that is the, you have to compromise. Even at the arahat palanyana. And then at the final situation, that's also gone. That is the parinibbana, so it is here. So intermediate part, if you do not like it, it's a separate issue. But read Potapada, the Buddha is bringing, and ultimately at last you have to compromise for that, darling. Because bearable. But it is no complete lack of friction. If the machine is running, friction is there. No 100% efficient machines on the world. Then machine is out. So in between, anupadisesa, saupadisesa. The saupadisesa is very interesting. You are human in this very life. And you are destined to dissolve. So that is the person talking with the putujana, commoners, and he says, you have the potential. Potentially we are the same. Possibility-wise we are the same, but we are really realized. I realize. I am encouraging you. But I am not the theoretical maximum. Theoretical maximum at the deathbed. But in this very life means you have gone to that far, no confidence, no doubts, no entertaining doubts. He has something, message to tell other commoners. That is what the Sutta Pitaka is. So Panditas had picked exactly in this very life. So I think we are in a good heated juncture. So I hope next week also we can develop the same heat.